game. It's Training Camp with Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Full count. 3-2. Struck him out, and at 97 miles an hour, Jackie Bradley fans, they leave them loaded in the ninth inning. Minnesota eking out a 2-1 victory.
You think that's funny, Zoe?
I do. Hey, welcome to Connecticut Day here on Zolak and Bertrand. Because there you go, Connecticut. It's your guy, Jackie Bradley Jr. You love him. You can have him.
Connecticut's all about him.
Jackie Bradley Jesus, right? Hey, never pinch hit for Jesus.
You try not to.
Yeah. Disciples, yeah. Take one of them out. Doesn't matter. John, Jim, Jerry, Peter. All same. You don't pinch hit for Jackie Bradley.
Can you imagine that?
He's so hot right now, Beetle.
That's basically what the manager told us after the game.
When are people going to wake up?
So, wake up to what? The fact that Jackie Bradley Jr. is...
That the guy is what he is.
Has some flashes. And that's about it. Red Sox lose to the Twins.
Who flashes for 10 years.
It feels like a week where they're losing games to a bad team.
A little lull. Yeah, a little lull.
Losing 2-1 to the Twins. And last night, Mitch Moreland was on the bench. Mitch Moreland was available to pinch hit. Alex Cora chose to stay with Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah.
All right, here's what Cora said after the game.
Any thought of pinch hitting Mitch there in the ninth?
No.
Is he healthy?
Yeah, he's okay, yeah.
Chris had asked about the Moreland thing. Just curious, eight pretty good numbers against Rodney Lifetime. Any reason why you didn't want to hit him there?
No, I mean, we got all the lefties that were in. That pinch hitting thing is not that easy. So, we got men in scoring position with Rafi, and then we felt the at-bats after that. They were good ones. We're not going to hit there for Brock. He's a good at-bat there, and Jackie's one of our best hitters the last month. I don't think there was a spot there.
You know what I find offensive about that?
Nah.
I'm offended
nah.
as a Red Sox fan.
Nah.
With one part.
Nah.
I'm offended with one part of what he
what
said.
Part?
That there was no thought
right,
given to
but
it.
But nah. Did you think about it? Nah. Nah. Quick nah. Three questions regarding
I'd feel,
Moreland.
I'd feel
Three
less
questions regarding Mitch Moreland.
I'd feel less upset if he had at least said, yeah, you know what? I considered it. I thought about it. I thought about the good numbers he's had against him, but I ultimately decided against it for whatever reason. But to say that you gave it zero thought,
nah.
Well, then what are you doing? You didn't even give it any thought?
I would take it this. You know, it's a good question.
Your job as a manager is to give everything thought.
It's a good question. I understand why you're asking me it, but this is why I didn't want to go down that route. Hey, there you go. But to have three baseball people to cover the team? Why didn't you go to a Mitch Moreland?
Anybody who's watching the game, this isn't like a hindsight 2020
Our text string. Hey, why did they pitch
Jackie
it for
Bradley
him?
Jr. could have hit a grand slam there last night, and we'd still be saying, why did he not even consider Mitch Moreland in the spot? Because as soon as you saw that, you're like, he's going to leave him in here to hit this guy.
Yeah.
Those of us who, again, have a clue on Jackie Bradley Jr. But to not even give it thought? No thoughts were given? Zero? Zero bleeps given?
Maybe it's an early 30th birthday present.
I'm sorry. Your job as manager every day is to think about all the possibilities for every situation. That's the gig. Yes, I considered it, but I ultimately decided against it because of this. Or, you know, whatever it might be. And I get that he's giving some reason there. It's if your best defense is that pinch hitting is hard, oh, boy. That's the best defense of it? Well, pinch hitting is hard, which he's right about. He's not wrong. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do.
I wonder what the mindset of those guys that could potentially be pinch hit for, guys like Moreland or anybody else on the bench, that actually know that by the numbers, ooh, here comes the spot and having a wherewithal in the game and understand the game. Mentally, I got to get ready here. I think pinch hit for me. You think it entered their minds? It sure didn't enter the managers.
And not only that, there were other guys
you know
in
it,
that
you
inning
feel it. Yeah.
That you could have thought about pinch hitting for. You could have thought, You could have considered pinch hitting for Pierce. You could have considered pinch hitting for Devers.
Yeah.
And you certainly could have considered pinch hitting for Jackie Bradley Jr. There's a bunch of guys there that you can say, you know what, we got Mitch on the bench. He's a decent hitter. We should consider getting him in here.
Because of who the person was that struck out, how the game ended, and what was at stake, you knew what the question today was going to be when people came on air.
So my question for Alex Cora, my follow-up would be, so pinch hitting is hard. Does that mean you don't believe in pinch hitting? Does that mean as a rule of thumb, you just don't believe in it? Because that's what it sounds like to me when I listened to him last night. He just doesn't believe in pinch hitting for anybody, anytime. And it's aggravating. That's an easy second guess last night of Alex Cora. Easy. What are you doing? And I get it. You know, the sample, the 6-for-10 for Mitch Moreland against Fernando Rodney. Those are not all pinch hitting situations. I'm not even sure any of them are pinch hitting situations. And your stats in pinch hitting situations are probably different. It's not easy. I get it. Coming off the bench, you're cold. You haven't played all night, and then you go in there and you face a guy like Fernando Rodney. I understand that.
It's not like
if you pinch hit 10 times in a row against Fernando Rodney, he's going to go 6 for his next 10. I understand that. What would Jackie Bradley Jr. do in his next 10 at bats against Fernando Rodney? What would Steve Pierce or Rafael Devers or anybody? I don't get it. That's an easy one to look at last night and say you didn't even consider it. How do you not consider it? Everything should be considered. That's what I found offensive about it, that it didn't even get consideration. I'm offended by that.
Yankees win? I think the Yankees won, right?
Yeah.
They picked up another game under there. Just here we are 2 days ago talking about running away with the division.
Yeah. They're squandering
six
an opportunity.
Up.
And then
now
last
all of a sudden,
Aaron Judge fractured his wrist last night.
God.
He's going to be out for at least 3 weeks. I guess that's a silver lining you take out of the day. The one positive, even though you don't like to root for an injury for someone. But that will definitely benefit the Red Sox with the Yankees losing one of their guys like that. But that's my thought on that. All right, that's one thought to start here on this Friday. Zolak and Bertrand coming to you live from Patriots training camp. It is day number 2 of training camp, and they are out there practicing. Does it look like the pace has picked up at all today?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not convinced yet. I've been watching.
It's still same structure, same rhythm to what they did yesterday.
Yeah,
guys are moving around pretty good. Put the pads on tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a big pick up the pace day.
Yeah,
heat's coming in. It's going to be 85, 90. They're going to do some hits.
It's like a break in day. All right, so this hour of training camp coverage also brought to you by our friends at Northern Bank. Our thanks to Northern Bank. And we are here all day from training camp, which means we'll hear from players again once practice has concluded. We'll tell you anything that's going on here that is of note. So make sure you stick with us all day. Let's get to a football thought here in this opening segment on this Friday, and that is Rob Gronkowski still doesn't have a new contract. We discussed this briefly yesterday with Greg Bedard, and now there's a post on Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, saying that nothing is imminent with Rob Gronkowski. So my instant reaction, I want to get your instant reaction to it. When I see that, I see it on Pro Football Talk. I see Mike Florio reporting on it and his staff reporting on it. I immediately think, Drew Rosenhaus, the agent for Rob Gronkowski, is now doing his bitching publicly that there is no new contract for his client.
See, I would think that if that came from Rap Sheet or another high-up NFL reporter, I would think that would be Rosenhaus. There's a weird way where I think Florio is a little connected here to the team to where maybe he's getting something because there's been some rumblings of an extension coming down, and the team just wants to clarify, hey, there's nothing imminent right now. And that goes against what I thought was going to be an extension and an adjustment to bonuses that were going to be – the T's were going to be crossed, the I's were going to be dotted, and we were going to come into camp here, and this guy was going to have a new contract announced yesterday, which was Thursday. That did not come to be.
As they wrote, and as Florio wrote on his website, profootballtalk.com, when we last addressed the likelihood of Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, we reported that nothing is imminent, and that's still the case. Quote, nothing is imminent. A source with knowledge of the situation told PFT on Thursday. Nothing is imminent. I also would go back to what Greg Bedard said yesterday, if we could pull that up back at our Town Fair Tire studios. Hit the archive for that. Here's what Greg Bedard said with us, talking about what he saw from Rob Gronkowski on the field yesterday. Maybe we don't have that yet.
Oh.
Maybe
we have it?
I don't know.
Next break.
Oh, we're going to play it next.
Play it next. Okay.
I think Jeremy's in there working on it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, Hardy, how you doing?
Good.
We'll play that coming up.
Hardy.
What did I miss out on? You said something right before the start of the show. Hardy missed
this. Oh, no, the Jones stuff. I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah.
I just found it puzzling. Okay. All right.
You were more disturbed than funny.
I was a little disturbed by the baby voice. That's all.
Oh, it's creepy. That's what made it funny.
Okay. All right. It was a little disturbing.
Are you worried about Rob Gronkowski being unhappy during this camp?
No. No, because you make that predetermined notion mentally. When I check in, this is football, and I got to be all go. Same thing with Brady. If I'm here, that means I'm here and I'm ready to play. And he also stood there yesterday and said,
but last year, Rob Gronkowski went through camp and then later admitted that while he was doing it, he thought about retiring.
Right, and he didn't
seem
very happy.
That's how your body feels. That's physical.
He didn't seem very happy in the offseason. What's changed? What's changed?
Nothing.
Right. So why is he not happy?
Other than maybe a threat that he wouldn't be here anymore.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's been around. He seems rambunctious. He seemed happy yesterday. I think they're working on it. I really do. It's just maybe they hit a snag. Nice usage of the word imminent. I mean, to me, that kind
of... Is that what it is? Usage of the word imminent?
Yeah. Pro football talk. No contract extension is imminent.
That's what they said.
That's what they said.
That's the quote from the source.
What if one comes down in 2 days? Then we go back and read that report and laugh at it.
What if they're right?
Then
what if nothing happens for at all?
We can
play
the start of the show and they can come back and laugh at us.
Which they probably won't do.
No.
Which they probably
Florida
will not take
would.
The time to
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we will hear from Greg Bedard what he said to us yesterday, in case you missed it. What he said about Rob Gronkowski on the field during practice yesterday, and I'm guessing this is something we're going to watch for every single day. Is he happy? Is he rambunctious, as you put it so? What's the state of Rob Gronkowski in Patriots camp? Your calls on that and on Alex Cora and the Red Sox last night, all that coming up next from Patriots training camp.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, as far as players, I would say the Gronkowski situation is interesting to me. I would say that, you know, look, I'll just go off of last year. Last year, day one of training camp, Gronk came out like a hero, catching everything, dominating, dancing, gyrating, all this stuff. And then we didn't see any of that the rest of camp. And then it turns out from Tom Curran's reporting that Gronk contemplated retirement. I saw Gronk out here that, in my opinion, he didn't look like he was having the greatest time in the world. What that means, I don't know. Is he unhappy with his contract? That nothing's been done yet, as far as we know? Maybe.
It's Greg Bedard yesterday right here on Zolak and Bertrand. Didn't look like Rob Gronkowski was having the greatest time yesterday during practice. That was an observation from Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. And as Hardy just pointed out, what's changed? What's different for Rob Gronkowski now than the entire offseason for Rob Gronkowski? Doesn't have any more money. He doesn't have the new contract. He's just suddenly recommitted himself and is energetic and ready to go. So then what was the point of the offseason?
To get your mind right.
That was to get the mind right?
Yeah. Figure out what you want. Figure out what you want to do.
Cryptic social media posts and... Danny Amendola to be free and happy and all of that?
That's just life. That's just you want to be free in life and be happy.
Something happened.
Edelman, touchdown. Nice. You're going to have to move the cameras. I'm not going to be able to sit down and watch this. They're in 11-11 right
617-779-0985.
Sorry, it's more down here for
phone number.
Down here for football.
Or to do the show and do the radio program.
This Brett Bielema is more involved with the defense than Mike Lombardi was.
How so?
He's in every defensive huddle. He's moving guys around. He's an instructor. He's working with Flores, where Lombardi kind of just hung out with Belichick and in the background, also with Ernie Adams. But you watch Bielema. He's got the call sheet.
Now he's Bielema.
Brett Bielema. He has no bulimia.
Bielema.
Hey, this guy is not Bielema. Is that what it is? Brett Bielema?
Okay. Bielema.
And now he's hustling down with the defense. It's almost like...
Ready, so say it. B.
Brett Bielema.
B.
B.
Lama.
Lama. Bielema.
Bielema.
Brett Bielema.
Yes.
Okay?
Bielema.
He looks pretty involved, guys. He looks like one of the most involved defensive coaches. So they're going down the other
way. So where's Brian Flores in that flow chart?
He's studying his chart. Studying his chart.
Meaning what?
Looking down. Probably making sure calls are right. Guys are lined up right.
So he's still the de facto defensive coordinator, right?
Yeah, he's got the big play sheet.
He's not being pushed out by the new guy.
Correct.
Okay. 617-779-0985. Alex Cora last night refusing to pinch hit, and now Rob Gronkowski. As we enter day two of camp, it's worth watching. It's worth keeping an eye on. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, says nothing is imminent. I immediately think that is an agent complaining to Mike Florio or filling in Mike Florio on the fact that there is no deal. And that is something that the source, which I don't know this. I'm just, my opinion is that it's probably someone in the Rosenhaus camp who's making it be known. There's no deal here. There's no deal. And that, to me, Zoe, is a much better way about going about trying to leak things or poke somebody than it is on the social media channels of Instagram posts and all that. Like, this is the more traditional way of doing it.
Instead of a personal one from the player.
Does this look bad for Rob Gronkowski?
No.
No.
No, there's a report by some
what looks
mutual
bad?
Paper.
What, him doing the vroom press conferences?
No, him putting out
or telling Danny Amendola to be free and happy, or this?
Him putting out an upside-down smiley face crying emoji. Like, I'm not happy, I'm crying. Boo-hoo. Thumbs down. You know what? The Felger Mass program, too, and they've been doing the texting thing with Belichick and Garoppolo.
Yes.
And you got to stop doing it because I keep thinking it's my phone. Because they have the exact same,
Oh, you mean the sound effect.
Yeah, the sound effect. Makes me run for my phone in my house. You got to stop doing that. There.
That's a random gripe that you want to air at this hour?
You want to talk about emojis and how do you do it on social media? No, you don't do it personally on social media. You have a report come out. There's ways of handling it.
Yeah, which he hasn't done to this point. So correct. At the very least, you could say, well, at least this has changed.
Yeah. They could have got a report that this thing isn't close to being done yet, but is being worked on.
Well, Florio.
And they've told Rob, just shut your mouth on everything. You want to keep your mouth shut, this thing will get done.
This, again, from the Florio story on Pro Football Talk, he's due to make $8 million this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, the Patriots provided him with a $5.5 million incentive package, and he earned every penny of it. This year, he possibly, and then he writes, probably wants an increase not tied to performance, given that guys like Trey Burton are making $8 million per year, and Jimmy Graham is making $10 million annually. Do you think that could be the hang-up? The Patriots might want to give him more and say, hey, as long as you perform and as long as you're playing at a high level, we will pay you like a high-level, highly paid tight end in this league, but that the money will be tied to performance, and he's balking at that, saying, no, you just should give it to me.
See, he's going to want the guaranteed
okay,
money.
Okay, and who's right? Who's right in that situation?
I think the Patriots are right.
I totally agree.
Because you're the one. You're the player that has indicated you're ready to retire. Your body hasn't felt right. So the second a player starts to think about retirement, that means it is part of the process. It is part of what's going on in that guy's head. But you're such a damn good player. You're such a planet player that when you're right, you're worth every penny in the world. So what we'll do is we'll hit you a bonus structure, an attainable bonus structure, like we have done, that dangling of the carrot. And you hit that baby, and we're more than happy to give you your money. And there's your money. You got it. He's got to work with them on that.
Right, because this is what I go back to. This happened with
you aren't a brand new 4-year tight end that's coming out, and you're tops in free agency, and you have no problems with you. You've had multiple knee surgeries. You've had multiple back surgeries. You've had your forearm rebuilt twice. And we've been through it here with him. And you're a wrecking ball. You play hard. And there's chances you are going to get hurt. So that big chunk of guaranteed money in that first 3 years, it's not really a fair deal for him.
So the argument is he underpaid? Yes, he's underpaid.
Yes,
okay,
he's
nobody's going to say that he isn't underpaid. But is he dramatically underpaid?
No.
No. Is it?
Julio Jones wasn't dramatically.
And that's what I go to. Guys, you sign a contract.
Yeah.
There's a decent chance that as the market continues to increase and more money is being spent on players and contract values get bigger over the years, in any sport, this isn't even unique to football, guess what? By the time you get to the later years of your contract, there's a good chance there's going to be a lot of guys making more money than you that are tops at their position. It's just it's the way of the nature of the beast.
Right.
It happens in every sport when guys sign long-term deals. You sign long-term deals, there's a chance when you get towards the end that you're not going to make the top dollar anymore because someone else has surpassed you. Look at the quarterbacks. All the time, someone is becoming the highest paid quarterback.
Look at Jimmy Garoppolo. He's a backup for 4 years.
Whoever the latest franchise quarterback is, to sign a contract, they instantly become the highest paid quarterback.
Think about that. Garoppolo is a backup for 4 years. Your Matthew Staffords were getting reset, boom, boom, boom. Oh, my, here comes Matt Ryan, even higher. Then a guy by the name of Derek Carr out there for Oakland. He gets the next big one, and then Jimmy Garoppolo blows their doors off.
And then he becomes the highest paid.
And there's going to be another one.
That's just how it goes. Yeah. So the meeting in the middle would be, hey, we'll pay you more money. We'll give you more money, but it's got to be based on the fact that you do perform at that same high level.
Yeah.
And we'll give it in the form of an incentive. And I think it's important that Florio notes that in the story, that he wants probably. He writes possibly and then writes probably. Like, yeah, possibly. Oh, maybe I know a little bit more.
Yeah. And one thing I did notice yesterday watching a couple tight end drills and stuff, there aren't really any other tight ends that catch the ball well.
Didn't we know that?
He's all you have, is my point.
Didn't we know that?
Dwayne Allen. And that helps him. But, I mean, Dwayne Allen's out there. He's busting his ass. He's giving effort. But it's like you throw it, and it's a constant fight where the ball's going down the elbow, up the arm. You know, nobody plucks the damn ball, catches it with the hands. It's a simple concept. Ball in air, grab with hands, squeeze, tuck away. It's not hard. Why fight it? Some guys just fight it all the time. There's guys like fight it like Brandon Cooks, and they end up getting $88 million. So, what do I know?
He had a productive year, even though he was fighting it, so.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he wasn't everything you wanted him to be. Still productive.
Sad.
No, I know it's all they have, but he's not holding out. We know this. He's here.
He's here.
That's a positive sign that he's here.
I'm watching him down here in one of these drills, and I know Greg said
but,
that. I think that's just part of, hey, Bill, you want to pace us this way? This is the way, and I think Rob is just pacing himself with the rest of the team.
Well, I just
Greg's
go back,
talking about him coming out like gangbusters. When Rob cranks it up, he's going to run over people.
So I go back to what we said at the start of the week, which is things that could make us feel better about everything that went on in the offseason. One of the things that we said would make us feel better is a Rob Gronkowski contract extension announced maybe as soon as this week.
I think it's coming. I really do.
And we don't have it yet. And you had heard it would be done before camp.
Yeah, I thought it was
Greg Bedard had
yesterday.
Heard the same thing, that it could be announced before camp started. And now you've got a report maybe from the Gronk side that says nothing is imminent. So if it was going to make us feel better that he got a contract extension, because as we said early in the week, it would have meant that he's not getting traded. It would mean that there's no chance of him retiring during the course of training camp. If it hasn't happened and it's not going to happen, why should we feel differently?
I don't know.
Why shouldn't we still feel that there's this risk, this flight risk with Gronk, where he has the same feelings he had a year ago during camp, and this time he acts on them? Or the part where you're going to see one of these late August, early September trades.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's happening because you need this guy. Because
and
you look out
that
there.
That second part is why.
He's the one thing to make your offense go, because you're not going to have Edelman. But also, his best friend's Tom Brady. And when you talk about contract extensions and adjustments, that's another guy that needs one. So can that be put out from the team's perspective that, hey, we don't want to say we're sitting here chomping at the bit to get Gronkowski's deal done where we haven't even approached Brady yet. Could that, hey, it's not imminent thing be put out there just to keep the quarterback quiet too? I don't know.
617-779-0985. Open phone lines. Jump on board as we talk about the Rob Gronkowski situation. Still mixing in some baseball thoughts as well here on Zolak and Bertrand live from Foxborough.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox lost to the Twins last night 2-1. Brian Johnson got the start. He went 5 2/3 innings. No runs allowed, just 4 hits. So, Brian, you must be happy with that. Brian? Oh, Brian? I guess he said he was happy with that. We're not sure. Now we don't know how he felt about it.
Yeah. Oh, wanted to go out there and give the team a chance to win. And, you know, I guess I'm saying this a lot per usual. Jackie or someone in the outfield made a great play for me. And, you know, the relay in later in the game was huge. So, you know, it was an all-team effort.
Four-game set continues tonight. Lance Lynn gets the start for the visitors. He's 7-8 on the year with a 5.23 ERA. He'll oppose Chris Sale, working on his already impressive 11-4 record and 2.13 earned run average. Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge hit by a pitch last night in the first inning, suffered a chip fracture in his right wrist. The team said Judge is going to miss 3 weeks. Patriots training camp underway again today. Zolak and Bertrand live there in Foxborough overlooking today's session. More with them coming up. Malcolm Mitchell was the lone absence yesterday. Headlines are brought to you by Ace Ticket. They have the best deals on seats with the outstanding customer service you deserve. Visit aceticket.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Where's Zoe? Where is he? Forget it. We'll do it without him.
Are there vending machines nearby?
No, I don't know. You know what? I think he said he was going downstairs. I thought if you're going to make that trip, you should do your best to try and make it back up before the break is over. That's all right, Hardy. What are you going to do? Theme of the show today.
We'll do it without him.
Zoe is nowhere to be found. 617-779-0. And he's got a rant in him that he wants to get to.
I know,
he's got something he really wants to go off on, and we're going to let him do it here. Now he's a no-show.
He's distracted anyway. There are 11-on-11s going on. What's as the crow flies from where you sit down to the practice field, what is it, 300 yards maybe?
Not even.
Yeah.
Not even. Probably less than, it's probably 100 yards. And now we moved the sign so that we would have a better view of everything, which is good and bad. Good for me. I could still sit here and talk to you while I'm watching it. Bad for Zoe. And now I don't even know where he is. 617-779-0985. What he wanted to go off on was Danny Amendola is in Dolphins camp, which is just weird to think of Danny Amendola wearing a Dolphins uniform now. It's just strange to me. I don't know. I mean, it felt like Amendola was here long enough that now you just think of him as a Patriot. Right, you don't think of him as wearing any other uniform than a Patriots uniform, even though this was not his first stop in the NFL. So he's in camp, and he's down in Miami with the Dolphins. And this tweet was from a few minutes ago from Omar Kelly, who's covered the Dolphins for a while now. Every day I watch Ryan Tannehill throw passes to Danny Amendola that could end his career. Props to Amendola for catching them, but I highly doubt he plays 16 games this season. Safeties are going to be ejected because of those hits.
Ejected.
Your thoughts?
That means he's hanging them out to dry. It's exactly what we've told you about Ryan Tannehill. A non-accurate passer. Has not gotten better year to year. This is why the Dolphins are in the state they're in. They need to find the next guy. He's not the next guy. But they had to pay him the $18 million. It's a fair contract because they could get out of it any year. And that's a big part of it. That's not what you want to have as a guy that, I don't want to say it was a pitch count guy, but Danny Amendola is a possession guy, a big play third down guy. You know who you hang out to dry? Rookies, free agents, because you're not seeing that right. That tells me Daniel's not seeing things right. Watch Brady throw. You watch even Hoyer. And I know you brought up Danny Etling. Danny Etling's got a nice tight compact, two hands on the ball delivery where boom, it comes right out from here, right shoulder length. You see anybody hitting anybody in the feet out here or throwing the ball behind him? Like, here's a throw right here, deep fade. Ball's put there, but either your guy's going to catch it or nobody. See, that's going to be a problem because...
Because Ryan Tannehill sucks?
Not because Ryan Tannehill sucks, but now you're Danny Amendola, you're making a lot of money. The expectations for you are to be out, to go out there and put up big numbers. Like, if you're a Dolphins fan or somebody that covers that team, like, wow, we're getting a receiver that is stamped, Super Bowl winner, big play, big catch winner, a guy that extends plays, third and 12, third and 18. Danny Amendola was Tom Brady's third and 18 guy, not Edelman. So they're all going to expect him to do that there with a guy that isn't even on the same page.
Can't deliver the ball in the spaces that Tom Brady delivered the ball to Danny Amendola.
It's a former receiver,
on third and 18.
For God's sakes, okay?
To what you're talking about.
They get so enamored with Tannehill.
You can't.
Shouldn't have taken him.
They also can't use him as a full-time player.
I want to say this.
Patriots didn't use him as a full-time player last year.
You're going to watch the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills this year in our division, obviously, because you're going to play him twice.
Right.
Josh Allen and Sam
Darnold
will be better quarterbacks this year than Ryan Tannehill will be statistically. This is
both of them?
I mean, you'll watch them and you'll say, okay, that guy's good. That guy's good. You understand why they picked him in the
first
round.
You might say you watch him.
You watch Tannehill. This never enters in your head when you watch Ryan Tannehill play. Oh, he's a high first round pick for the Dolphins. Like, they drafted him in the first round to play quarterback. That's why he's there.
And still
there.
That's it. After all these years. And he's going to get Danny Amendola killed.
That's sad.
I mean, that's a part of it. That's what Omar Kelly's saying. This guy's going to get killed out
there. That tells you he doesn't know where he's going with the ball. He's throwing the ball late. He's misreading coverage. That's all impacted when you lay guys out to dry. He's going to get him killed. Nice. Edelman looks good. God, does Edelman look good.
Oh, yeah, really? Because
I can't wait till week five.
You missed the play 3 minutes ago.
Oh, when, I can't wait.
When he had to push off Gilmore, and Gilmore still had a pick. Man, Gilmore looks good. Had a good couple of days here. Yeah.
Gilmore might
You know why Edelman was pushing off?
Because he's covered?
Because he's done.
Because he's done. Hey, Gilmore might be like that grouping of guys Belichick's talking about where we're getting great leadership, but not only that, the guys have popped since the spring. Huge jumps, unexpected jumps.
Well, you could say this about Stephon Gilmore last year. He walked into a bit of an awkward situation with that Butler situation, and I don't think those guys were friendly.
No.
Sort of awkward.
Yeah.
Super Bowl hero, one corner, wanted to get paid, and then Gilmore walks through the door as a free agent and gets a huge payday on day one of free agency. That had to have been an awkward situation, and I don't think those guys were friends.
Right.
You agree?
I agree, totally.
617-779-0985. The division is going to suck, though, even with the new quarterbacks.
Yes, division's the same.
But I don't think it's going to suck forever.
But I tell you what, I'd rather watch a division suck with good young first-round quarterbacks that at least you know the name instead of the Tyrod Taylors of the world. Or who even played for the Jets? What the hell is his name? Not the kid from Harvard. I'm thinking the other one. He just retired. Didn't he retire, but he didn't retire?
You're not thinking of Ryan Fitzpatrick? Who are you thinking of?
Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't there. Ryan Fitzpatrick's down in who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
The blonde-haired kid.
Josh McCown.
Oh.
God.
Yeah, he has played.
That guy.
He got drafted the same year as Brady, right? Correct?
19 years. I thought he retired, then unretired. It's weird.
All right. Coming up. As I mentioned, I don't think the division is going to suck forever. It just can't. I mean, you keep drafting quarterbacks high. Someone's going to hit at some point, right?
Yeah.
You assume? Story on Bleacher Report. Tell you what, Bleacher Report's been cranking out the stories this week on the Patriots. First, the story on Garoppolo, which had a Patriots tie-in. And now this, Patriots 2020. Here's the headline. Patriots 2020. NFL insiders on the future of a seemingly undying dynasty. And that would be the New England Patriots. What will they look like, not in 2018 or 2019? What does this look like in 2 years?
Yeah.
We'll discuss that possibility and what the AFC East could look like in 2 years. We'll do that coming up next from Patriots training camp. Jim Lowe, what's the new punter's name that we're watching out here practice today? What's his name? We've got to get this right.
Corey?
Yeah, Corey.
Bajorquez.
Corey Bajorquez?
Bajorquez.
Bajorquez. Bajorquez.
We need Sosi.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
Ooh, look at that one.
Wow, does this kid have a leg?
He's turning it over.
Holy smokes.
When I say he's turning it over, he's getting a spiral. The ball's hitting its peak, and it's turning over like a pass into the wind, so it's cutting into the teeth of the wind.
Left-footed punter. Always got to be left-footed for Bill Belichick.
Bill loved that so much he blew the whistle, so let's end the drill with that one.
I can tell you, Ryan Allen, I want to pick up the pace, kid. I want to pick it up or else you're about to get replaced. Might want to call your realtor. Might need to sell your house. Holy crap. This kid can punt. That's a training camp observation for you right there. All right, let's get to this story, Bleacher Report, with a story today that says, they write, Patriots 2020, NFL insiders on the future of a seemingly undying dynasty. And the question is simple enough. What will the Patriots look like in 2020? So in this story, Bleacher Report surveyed more than a dozen NFL coaches, executives, scouts, and players, as well as former Patriots and current staff members. Current staff members with the question of, what are they expecting? Seems like an interesting premise, right, Zoe? We're near the end. What is this going to look like in a couple of years?
Right.
Seems like the time of year to ask it. Talk persists around the league that Brady is closer to retiring than ever, the story says. Sources close to his small circle of advisors told Bleacher Report they could see him riding off into the sunset if the Patriots win another Super Bowl this coming season. Zoe, you agree with that because I've heard you tell us this before.
Yeah, my kid could have told you that. Yeah. I mean, that just makes all the that makes all the okay. sense in the all world, right. really. Think about it. Think about it. What this guy's doing, what does he play for? What does he put all the time in? You know, his convictions. Who am I doing this for? It's for that moment, for that. We play for championships here. That's what's different.
One of the sources said, you hear him talk and you watch the Facebook series, and seriously, it sounds like a guy who's searching for motivation. Others see it differently. How long did he say he wants to play? One Patriots staffer asked rhetorically when surveyed for the story. Answer, 45 years old. And then the staffer said, okay, so he'll probably play until he's 45. Someone else said, I wouldn't doubt him. This is a guy who has defied every odd to become the greatest football player of all time. If he says 45, I believe him. An AFC vice president of player personnel agreed, saying, I think Brady plays until 45, and Bill is coaching right alongside him.
I think it's 43, man. I really do. It's nice to say 45. And it's nice to say, okay, you can acknowledge the guy's the best football player in the world. If he says 45, it's 45. But things change. There are things that change in just 2 years with this guy. And 43 is just another 2 years out. So to picture what we've gone through with him, on and off the field, the drama, the comebacks, the injuries. That's a long 2 years. Add another two to that. Sandwich that with a win, I think he's gone.
The source that is close to Brady in the story, even who had questioned the endurance and his motivation, added this, though, saying that maybe the rift with Belichick and Guerrero will be enough to fuel him for a longer run. Maybe that it has the opposite of a guy who's going to shy away from it and say, I'm done doing this. He might be motivated to keep doing it for that very reason.
That's a, I don't want to say a weird or some kind of sick, twisted motive, and using that for motivation. Some people do need it, though. Hey, I've worked with people, and I've been around people that they need to pretty much be miserable all the time. Never happy for anyone, but the grind. You know what it's, you hate to grind, but, you know, I'm in. I'm the one working. Everybody else, though. Some people get motivated that way and need that.
One former Patriot kind of sickness of motivation. One former Patriot player said, this is just my theory, but it makes a lot of sense. They both want to walk away with seven rings as Patriots, Belichick and Brady. That'd be the most for any franchise ever, and they would have done it together. And right now, they're only two away. Only two away. Like, winning one of them is easy.
One way.
they only have to win two more Super Bowls.
Just don't package two Super Bowls. It's one. It's one. Bill wants one more. Tom wants one more.
So the question that they set out to answer was, what will it look like? You know, what will it look like coming, you know, 2 years out? And the questions were being asked by Bleacher Report. You know, will Josh McDaniels take over for Belichick? Will he be the head coach? And nobody wanted to talk about that. All they wanted to talk about was Brady and Belichick and how much longer they'll do it together. And the answer is, there is no definitive answer. We don't know.
Yeah.
But in 2 years from now, if Brady is at that point 43-year-old quarterback on a team with a head coach who will at that point be 68, right?
Yeah.
68, 43. And they're out here trying to win in a division that's, maybe gets better. What if their division actually at some point becomes a thing? Like, real competition. What if Sam Darnold is really good?
That'll be exciting.
What if the Jets or Bills get decent for once in this, you know, century?
It's going to make you get better. It's going to make you get better from the standpoint, okay, now we understand what our division is, right? When you're in a black and blue division, when you're in a division like the Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cowboys, what do you got to do? You got to build big offensive lines. You've got to have a running game. You've got to have big linebackers, and you've got to have big safeties and fast corners. And that's what that whole division is predicated on, because you got good receivers, you got to cover, and you basically have quarterbacks that are pretty much statues inside the pocket sitting back there.
Right.
So if you look at what the Jets are, say, going to be, they're going to be a young athletic team, I think. And I think they're going to be able to muddy some stuff up. The defense has gotten better. I've seen the Jet defense get better year to year to year. The offense has made no strides whatsoever. That's the problem on that football team. So say Sam Darnold goes in there, starts to solidify some things. So now you're going to have to start to build your football team to complement the style of your division. And Josh Allen is 6'8". He's not going to be running all over the place. So you're going to start to have to get some big defensive linemen, guys that are going to be able to rush the passer, get their hands up, and have big safeties. And get some little guys on the outside to match up with their speed. So you Bill's done a good job of that year to year to year, and he sort of looks 2 years ahead. And everybody says, well, why is he bringing this guy in? Why'd you go get this guy? Well, you see the quarterbacks are going to play in the first 8 weeks of the season. Bill builds his team according to the opponents.
Well, I just look at this year, for example, right? Brady at 41, Bill at 66. And not that Bill's age is all that relevant. Brady's is. When you look at the division, we sort of discount that they're even real games.
Right.
And we were talking yesterday about the saving grace and what we're playing off of with Colin Coward. Saving grace is they don't have a quarterback, really. They don't have a long list of quarterbacks that they have to face that are really good.
Right.
They have a short list of elite quarterbacks that they're going to play this year. And when we look at that rundown of games like Jets, Bills, Dolphins, you ripped on the Dolphins today. The Jets and Bills, we don't even think about them.
I think the Dolphins went two steps backwards.
Dolphins suck. Seriously. Bills, the division is wretched, is how we feel about the division.
Yeah.
I think the schedule might look different 2 years from now if the division gets better.
Sure.
And it makes the whole, they only have two to go, a lot harder. Like, that could play a factor at some point. Granted, it's been a long time since it's really been a strong factor. But I don't know. I think about those things. What's the schedule look like in 2 years? How much harder is it to do this in 2 years? As you just mentioned.
Other things change in ownership, too. Will there be of a shift in ownership?
Is the tight end here in 2 years?
It's basically the same stuff. Right.
Does Brady decide if they
tight end's not getting any younger?
That he's walking away.
Maybe you have to, they drafted a running back in the first round, so you get Sony Michel. Maybe in 2 years, you got to draft a tight end in the first round to sort of complement, the changing of the guard.
617-779-0985. Open phone lines for you. You want to grab one as we come to you live from Patriots training camp today. There are more quotes in this story, though, about the Garoppolo-Belichick dynamic and how much Belichick, liked Jimmy Garoppolo and what he sort of envisioned for the Patriots going forward.
Nice.
We'll get to that, get to your calls as well, after we go back to our Town Fair Tire studios. Hardy standing by with the Sports Hub headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials.